Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered in my over 47 years of doing therapy. These tools are available absolutely free, thanks to the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a simple PDF file, print it off, copy it, use it as often as you'd like. It's absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through the worksheet process and or called in and given powerful testimonials about how the actual application of that tool in their lives has produced tremendous benefits. We hope you do that soon and often because it frequently leads to questions or comments. And if you have any questions or comments or testimonials, give us a call at 563-999-3581. And it'll put a question mark by your phone number, and I can announce you by your area code. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. Today is the 322nd day of the, or 20th day of the year. And today's lesson simply reads, the Creator gives all power unto me. The Son, the offspring of creation, are limitless. There are no limits on their strength, their peace, their joy, nor any attributes that their Father has given to his creation. What the Creator wills with whatever the offspring of creation wills with their Creator and Redeemer must be accomplished. His holy will can never be denied because the Creator shines upon his mind and lays before it all the strength and love in earth and heaven. I am he to whom all of this is given. I am he in whom the power of the Creator's will abides. Creator, your will can do all things in me and extend to all the world as well through me. There is no limit on your will, and so all power has been given to your offspring. The Course in Miracles Experiment lesson from Pam Grout's book, A Course in Miracles Experiment, number 320, is titled, Your Deed to the World's Most Valuable Real Estate. She quotes Michael Singer, who said, eventually you will see that the real cause of problems is not life itself. It's the commotion your mind makes that really causes the problems. Pam writes, Terry Crews is a former football player and one of the stars of Brooklyn 9-1-1 and a former Time Magazine Person of the Year. Even though he grew up with an abusive father in Flint, Michigan, where, as he says, he did drink the water, he made the decision to employ Lesson 320, I am limitless. Despite the boundaries of his culture, the brainwashing of his hood, he decided he was going to take charge and interpret life on his own terms. In other words, he took control of the real estate of his consciousness. Instead of believing in limits, he created opportunities and possibilities. Instead of being tied to his backstory, he decided who he was going to be. By giving up limits, he went from poverty-stricken Flint hoodlum to incomparably successful movie star. So today, as I repeat the phrase, I am unlimited, I take over the deed to the most exclusive and important piece of real estate, my own consciousness. So take over control of the most important real estate in your life, your own consciousness. And give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind, what will be of service to you to discuss this day. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I have been discussing several different books recently when there's been no one to raise a hand and ask a question. And the one I have in my hand right now is from Guy Finley, and it's titled Apprentice of the Heart. And this book, he quotes Plato as saying, all loves should simply be stepping stones to the love of God. So it was with me, and blessed be his name for his great goodness and mercy. And in this work, I use the title Creator in exchange for the word God, because God has so much emotional baggage for most people. And this book by Guy Finley is, Guy Finley is a prolific author, I would say that. And this book was first printed in 2004. And throughout the book, he has scattered quotes from Rumi and others, and quotes that he himself has compiled in his writing. And one of the things about Guy Finley that I know informs his work, I have found footnotes in some of his books referencing Krishnamurti, is that purity, that once I've made an observation and I'm in the moment and that observation is true, it's always going to be true. The things that are truly worth observing about how life works are always true. So what is it that we can observe? Well, the first thing I like to observe is that as I stand, sit, lay here, whatever situation I'm in, I observe that I don't know everything. Sometimes my mind wants to tell me that I know what I know what I know. But the fact of the matter is there's all kinds of stuff having to do with particle physics I don't know anything about. There's all kinds of stuff having to do with airline mechanics I don't know anything about. So living from observation continues to be far more beneficial to me than living by belief. So I start off with the observation that what I currently know is not everything. I don't know everything. And so by extension, the next observation is there, ready for me to take the next step. Whatever it is that I think I know in this moment is by definition either only partially true, since I don't know all there is to know, or perhaps even completely false. And if I walk into any situation with those two observations active in my mind, and I keep my observation open and flowing in the moment, now I have put myself in a space where it is possible for me to learn something. At the same time, if I walk into that very same situation and I think, listen, I know what I know and how I know it and where I found it out and I know what's going on here, there is no possibility for me to learn anything new. I'm going to exit that situation knowing what I knew. And my observation in life is that that's not a very productive way for me to go through life, living in the fantasy that I know what I know, living in the fantasy that there's nothing new for me to learn here, living from the judgment that I know better, that I know what's right and what's wrong and who's good and who's bad and who deserves my judgment and my bitterness. That has never led me to good results. So I have observed and I continue to observe that when I approach life with eyes wide open and doing the observation, I learn, and the more I learn, the better my life gets. The more I learn and the more I'm willing to apply those learnings in my life starts getting better exponentially. That's what we're encouraging people to do with this work. Live in the question, learning to live in the mode which understands observation is highly preferable to belief and dogma and judgment. Living in the question, as Rilke calls us to, is highly preferable to demanding that life conform to what we know is right or wrong or good or bad. One of the bottom line observations was being discussed in the last session I had. The primary observation was, I will never be upset about anything anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that I think they should, unless I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And this person said, yeah, but I know people that would immediately say, I haven't done that. I've never done anything like that. And I've even had people fight me about that and say, I never done that to anyone else. But they do it routinely to themselves. Negative judgment against self, beating oneself up emotionally, criticizing oneself mercilessly for mistakes. So whether I've even just fantasized about it but never done it, or I've done it to myself but would never do it to anybody else, if I'm judging somebody else negatively, if I'm creating an upset in my life and my mind is showing me a picture that seems to be proof that the other person is causing my upset, this is what I have observed time and time again. If I'm willing to describe their behavior, describe the trait or the behavior that they're exhibiting. And then ask myself, when I find that one that is most emotionally upsetting to me, then I ask myself, okay, where in my life have I done the same or similar thing? And then just get quiet and just ask to be shown. What I know is I will see where it was in my life that I did the same or similar thing. I will see how I'm judging myself negatively for doing that. And now, if I go into my mind and I look at that specific instance that's come to my mind, and I use the reality management worksheet or whatever other forgiveness tool that seems appropriate to me, and I dismantle my negative judgments against myself, I will open up compassion for myself at that previous time in my life, whether it was decades ago or just a week or two ago. I will open up compassion for myself. And then when I open my eyes and look at the other person, I will have compassion for them. It's a done deal. This is how the system works. If I'm having a negative reaction to somebody, if I feel like I'm upset because someone has said or done something that I think is inappropriate, it will only be because I am still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And when I dismantle my negative judgment against myself for doing that, and I restore the compassion for myself, then when I open my eyes and look at the other person in the present moment, I will have compassion for them. I will understand we're all the same. They're just doing the best they can in each moment with whatever resources they have. And then I can start engaging the tools to continue to dismantle any negative emotion or any negative thought pattern that wants to lock me in its grip. I can use what they call Tonglen from the Buddhist tradition, which has me breathe in the pain I'm feeling or breathe in the pain or upset that I experience in someone else and breathe out the compassion and the healing and the spaciousness. And in this way, I can introduce myself to a more a spaciousness about my own capacity to experience upset, pain, discomfort. At the same time, I can experience a greater sense of calm and release than I thought was possible just minutes before. Because when I'm in the middle of my muddle, when I'm in the middle of my pain, my mind is trying to convince me that I can't handle what's happening. And the truth is, each of us has access to a wisdom and to a resource of energy that goes far beyond what our conscious logical minds can comprehend. And that practice of Tonglen has me breathe in the pain or discomfort and breathe out the spaciousness and healing. And I breathe it in for everyone or from everyone who might be going through a similar pain. And I breathe it out in the spaciousness and the healing energy, visualizing that it goes to anyone who might need this. Anyone who might have suffered in the recent or distant past or be in suffering right now. And in that process, I step into an experience of how we're all the same, I step into an experience of expansion of my own energy system and my own capacities for compassion and tolerance, you know, my capacity to experience the pain, the discomfort, the suffering, whichever word you want to use for that. And if I'm willing to continually step into the use of tools, tools like the ones Michael and Jeannie Rice make available on the website at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. If I'm willing to step into the use of those tools, I can experience more spaciousness within myself, more tolerance for the suffering, more capacity for compassion and love, more appreciation for the flow of life in each moment, and I transform my experience of life. Again, another way I talk about that is I transform my experience of life by what I choose to focus on, what I choose to focus my conscious awareness upon, and how I choose to interpret and respond to the life events around me. That's the actual mechanism that creates my experience of life. What I choose to focus on and how I choose to interpret whatever it is I'm looking at is the thing that creates my experience of life moment to moment. So we've got about 35 or 36 minutes to talk and plenty of range of topics. 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, and we can have a conversation. How can we support you today? What would be useful for you to spend the next 35 minutes discussing? Anything having to do with any topic we've recently had? Anything having to do with the Mind Shifter targeted journaling tool that Michael has? The Still Point Breathing? The Reality Management Worksheet, the 3 Early Memories of Conflict, the Codependent to Interdependent Worksheet, which is the root of that bottom line observation I discussed earlier, which is that if I am upset and my mind is telling me I'm upset about anything anybody else has ever said or done, or something they did or didn't do that I think they should, the only reason that could ever happen is because I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And that's what's revealed in the Codependent to Interdependence worksheet. I take a sheet of paper and turn it landscape size, sideways. In the column on the left, I label it everybody who's ever offended me, and I list as many names as I can think of, whether it was something from preschool, grade school, middle school, high school, or any time beyond. Whenever I sit down to do that worksheet, as I list the people that I think have done something that's offensive to me, I put their names in the first column. In the second column, to the right of that, I put a title of the column, and it's what they did that was offensive to me. And then I fill in as many things as I can about a short description of what they did that was offensive to me. And then the third column is, what's my punishment thought for them? How would I like to get back at them? Cause them pain or have them be aware of how much pain they caused me or publicly disgrace them or punch them or whatever it is. Just be as honest as possible. And then in the fourth column, I write it down what my advice to them is. Because, you know, if they've done something that I find offensive, the only way it could be offensive to me is if I have another thought in my head about what they should have been doing instead. The right thing, in my opinion, etc. And I fill it in. What's my advice to all these people I have listed that have done things that have offended me? And then the last column on the page I title how I'm going to use my advice to them in my life, how I'm going to apply my advice to them in my life. And I go down the list, and every piece of advice I've given somebody, because I think they offended me, I'm going to find it might be good advice for them, and it will be the perfect advice for me. And if I really want to take my growth to the next level, I will actually write a letter to each of the people that I believe have offended me, and I will describe to them in that letter how I'm going to apply my advice to them in my life. And sometimes when Michael Rice is doing this, discussing this tool in his lecture, he'll say, and then mail it to them. And he has a short pause, and then he says, and now the degree to which you are holding your breath is an indication of how much you're lying to yourself. And then he gets very clear, very serious, and he said, I'm not telling you to mail this to the other person. That was just a joke about, you know, this awareness that we have that when we think, most of the time we're kidding ourselves. So the codependence to interdependence worksheet has me wake up and realize that when my mind tells me somebody else is doing something wrong and they should do this or that, whatever that advice is that my mind is offering up for that other person is the perfect advice for me in my life in that moment. And if I'm willing to listen to my own advice to somebody else, my own personal growth can be accelerated by leaps and bounds. If I continue to insist that it's not about me, it's the other person, and they really need to do this or that, I'm going to stay as stuck as I could possibly be. But when you think about it, this is a very convenient truth. And we had that movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Well, here's a very convenient truth. The advice that my system would offer up for anyone or anything that I think has offended me is the best possible way for me to accelerate my own spiritual growth. By applying that wisdom, that advice, that change, that correction in my own life. You have within you the perfect counselor for improving your own life. You have within you the wisdom of the ages. You have within you a connection to what most would call the wisdom of the ages. You have within you a direct line to the same insight and intuition and power that a person like Dr. Michael Rice has, or Jeannie Rice has, or whoever your favorite spiritual teacher is. And this specific device, the codependence to interdependence worksheet, is a way to get direct access to that wisdom. Figure out what your mind is telling you that so-and-so needs to do. And each and every time you've got advice for somebody else, get yourself a notebook. Get yourself connected to your own internal wisdom. Make a note about what your mind is telling you this person really needs to do, and you will accelerate your own growth exponentially. A lot of people I've had in the support groups over the years and in my therapy sessions, they're absolutely dumbfounded to hear me say this. But the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of times when I'm in a therapy session, I'm not giving people advice. I'm teaching them a technique. I'm feeding back to them what they've said. I actually say this verbatim to people, often in a first session. I'm not the expert about what you have to do to solve the problems in your life. I have some expertise in various areas after 47 years of doing therapy. I have this very broad and deep database about what people's lives are really like after spending 47 and a half years in rooms with people where they come in and tell me things they wouldn't tell their husband, their wife, their best friend, their lawyer, their lover, their judge, their priest, but they'll tell me. So that gives me a level of expertise in certain things. But one of the things I do not have expertise in is what you have to do to solve the problems in your life. So, seemingly, oddly enough, when I'm in a therapy session with people, I rarely give advice. And when I do, on that rare occasion when I do, if I'm having a good day, there's a part of my mind that hears what I say when I say to somebody, you know, you really need to dot, dot, dot. And that part of my mind that's listening to that says to me, okay, Tim, because this just came out of your mouth as advice, where in your life do you need to do what you just said to that person? Now, one of the last times that happened, I found myself saying to somebody, you really need to carve out time to spend quality time with the critically important people in your life. And I heard myself say it in that way, and I immediately after that session went and wrote it down and said, okay, am I saying I need to spend more time with my mother or my sons or whatever? And I stepped through those relationships and paid attention to either how I could do that or what was blocking me from doing that. And you have the very same connection to that infinite wisdom inside you. That's the core of this work. Every one of us has the connection to what Pam Grout would call the Holy S, what Course in Miracles would call the Holy Spirit or that great comforter. And the Way of Mastery uses very similar terms. You have access. Guy Finley says, the Creator put you on this planet, not in a world where you have to hunt and search, you know, climb mountains and spend time with a hermit in a cave to find the teacher for what's best for you. But the Creator put you in a world where your instant, constant connection to the intelligence and the wisdom that can guide you will never abandon you if you just ask to be shown. And that's one of the things that happens every time I do a reality management worksheet. It's one of the things that can happen every time I do the targeted journaling that Michael calls a mind shifter. It's one of the things that happens every time I do the codependence to interdependence worksheet. And that's the kind of thing, that worksheet, I can do that one, you know, every week if I want to, because every week, if I'm honest, I live my life, I will be able to see where I got upset and my mind is telling me I'm only upset because that person did this or didn't do that. And like Diedrich Wolzak would say in the first part of his Choose Again six-step method for forgiveness, the most important part is step one. I have to admit I'm triggered. I'm upset. I don't want to downplay it. I don't want to say, oh, but that's not important. I don't want to say, oh, but I forgive them. I don't need to work on that. I want to be honest about every time I'm triggered. And every time I get triggered in this thing we call life in my day-to-day interactions, I could pick up the codependence to interdependence worksheet at least once a week and fill it out. Here's the person I think offended me. Here's what they did. Here's my punishment thought for them. Here's my advice to them. And then let me spend some time this next day, this next week, this next month, applying my advice to them in my life, finding out where in my life I have been violating the very advice to them that I'm saying is causing my upset because they aren't following this. And what my bottom line observation says is I will not be upset by those things those people are saying or doing or not doing that I think they should unless I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. even in my role as a psychologist. When I hear myself giving someone advice, hopefully, and for the most part, I feel it's true, whatever advice I give somebody in a therapy session is pretty good advice for them. And at the same time, it's pretty good advice for them. It's the center of the bullseye advice for me. It's the perfect advice for me. It's the thing that will give me the most efficient, effective results if I can apply that advice in my life. And it's coming directly to me from that part of my mind that knows what I need, that has access to the stuff I have hidden from me. And that's how it's coming up as advice to somebody else. It shows up in my mind on the image my mind is creating of the other person with my issue attached to them. And that's why it's got the upset on it. This corrective pattern in each of us that wants us to be loving and compassionate and move closer to this awareness of our connection to all things wants me to see the things I'm hiding from myself. And that's why it throws the perfect advice for me onto the image of somebody else, because it knows I'm pushing away what I most need to see to move forward in my healing. That part of my mind knows I'm living from fear. I'm living from the ego mind. I'm living from judgment. And that part of my mind knows I'm actively avoiding seeing what would be most useful to me. So it offers it up for me to see it draped in the picture in my mind of this other person. Here's what they're doing that's so upsetting to me. Here's how they're bad or wrong. Here's what they need to do to change their life for the better. And if I'm willing to use this tool, I can step into the direct application of that tool and improve my personal growth by leaps and bounds. I don't have to wait for somebody else. I don't have to go to a guru. I don't have to wait until the internet show comes on and ask. I can apply this tool. You can either do it in the form of the bottom line observation that I give people. It says, if I'm upset about anything anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that I think they should, the only cause of that upset in me is that I am still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And I could just start working with that and say, okay, what is the trait or behavior they're doing, and how have I done that in the past that I'm still judging myself for? Or I could pull out the codependent to interdependence worksheet and list this person in this moment and what they did that I think is upsetting and what my punishment thought is for them and what my advice is to them, and then actually take the time to write about how I'm going to apply my advice to them in my life. And if I step into actually applying that in my life will get better. Here's the point of today's little monologue, because no one's raising a hand yet. Every one of us has access to the perfect advice giver. Every one of us has access to what Way of Mastery calls the Great Comforter. A Course in Miracles calls the Holy Spirit. Pam Grout calls it the Holy S, the Dude. Every one of us can tap into the same intelligence and wisdom and spiritual, you know, awareness and teaching that Michael Rice has used to write the book Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and to devise these tools like the Reality Management Worksheet, etc. You've got access to that. And here's a tool that can help you live into that access, actually figure out what to do to get direct information about that wisdom and how to apply it in your life to accelerate your growth exponentially. So we've got about 17 or 18 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Do yourself a favor. Call that number. Press 1. It'll put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. How is this talk today sitting with you? What is it stirring up for you? With a comment or a question or an answer or a soliloquy? How can we be of service to you today? 563-999-3581. Today is a Tuesday, so that means there's a support group happening later today from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. All the information about joining that group is available at mindshiftersacademy.org website. And if you go there or refer somebody else, please remember there's a separate login page for each Tuesday and Thursday. 808, you're in the air. Is this Roma?
Yeah. Hi, good morning. It's morning here. I guess it's afternoon over there, right?
It's not quite afternoon.
Oh, so it is. Okay, so we're morning. Well, you know, all these years I've been doing this work for like 35 years, and I've never heard this worksheet talked about before. So I'm calling in to find, you said landscape format for the paper, and the issue or the person on the left side, and then there were several different categories. Yeah, and
right.
What
first
were the different
left,
categories on the right?
Right. So first on the left, you write at the top of the column. Right? You make a column that, or a piece of paper that's going to have five columns. If you don't want to download the worksheet from Michael's website, and you just take a piece of paper 8.5 by 11 and turn it sideways. And on the left margin, you write, person who offended me.
All right, offended. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you want to leave enough space so that you've got a total of five columns on this page.
Okay.
And the second column is titled, What They Did.
Okay. Let's see. What they did.
On Michael's worksheet, he has it labeled as the nature of their, quote, offense, close quotes.
Okay.
And then the third column is titled, My Punishment Thoughts, How I Want to Punish Them.
Punishment. What if you don't have any punishment thoughts?
Well, fake it. Or give yourself some grace, and give yourself some grace, and recognize you're in denial, which means some form of pain, and be gentle with yourself. Eventually, they will emerge.
All right, very good. Okay, so that's the third item is punishment thoughts, and what's the fourth one?
The fourth column is titled "My Advice to Them."
My advice. Okay, and then the last column?
The last column on his worksheet is empty, and in the workshop, after he's had you fill out the first four columns, then he gives you the title for the fifth column, and the fifth column is titled, How I'm Going to Apply My Advice to Them in My Life.
Okay, I will apply... It's funny. It's so funny. My advice to them, to my life. Great.
And this is called the Codependence Worksheet. It's available on Michael's website.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on the Start Here link, when you're at that next page, you just scroll down, and when you get past the opening stuff, there's a whole list of worksheets, and this is one of those.
Okay. All right, good. It was a strange morning for me because I went to dial in for the show and I got the blog talk announcement saying there are no shows. So That was kind of odd. So I couldn't figure that out. So then about 10 minutes later, I thought, well, I'll try again. And there you were, talking away.
Yeah, if you logged in a little early, you uh-huh. would get that message. Because
yeah,
Jeannie
but usually
not,
they'll say,
yes,
show,
yes,
is,
you're right.
Show will start
Roma,
in
you're
two
right.
minutes or something like
you're,
that.
You're right.
Yeah.
Roma, you're right.
Yeah.
Usually it yeah. would. But today, yeah. Jeannie had
oh.
not scheduled a show.
Oh, okay.
So there was a difference at our end.
Oh, I see.
And when I discovered that
uh-huh.
at about 8 minutes till,
uh-huh.
I had to go in and set it up to just do the show live, and that
yeah.
meant I had to wait until right at 58 minutes, you know, past
oh,
the hour.
Heart. Yeah.
And then, so that's why you got that message. If you had called in
oh, okay.
right at
yeah.
the hour or 1 minute later, mm-hmm. it would have let you in because I started
yeah.
only 1 minute before.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that explains it then. It was a mystery. Okay, well, thanks for the information on the codependence worksheet. And I it's like amazing to me that I've been doing this work all these years and somehow that never registered to me. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's a powerful
one. Oh, boy,
one.
I tell
it's,
you.
It's
we're
one
fun
that,
creatures.
Yeah, and it's a powerful one that's, you know, it's been
yeah.
part of my teaching for people for years
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
if I'm upset about anything anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that
mm-hmm.
I think they should,
mm-hmm.
it's because I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And
mm-hmm.
then I come into Michael Rice's work, and he's got this codependence worksheet, and I say, well, there's the same wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can actively apply my advice to the other person in my life, I've got access to the best counselor in existence.
Mhm. Mhm. That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Tim.
Oh, you're welcome and deserving. Have a lovely day.
Okay. Aloha.
So, call-in number, we've got about 10 minutes left, 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What's on your mind? How can we support you with what time we have left in today's first hour before Michael and Jeannie take over? I was saying right before Roma called that it's a Tuesday, so we have a Mindshifter support group available tonight, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time, and the place to find the login information for that is on mindshiftersradio.org, and also on Mindshifters Academy. I guess it's not mindshiftersradio.org. It's whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and mindshiftersacademy.org. And then you go to mindshiftersacademy.org. Going on when people first started going to Zoom, there's a separate ID for signing in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's been a somewhat common occurrence that people try to log in on a Thursday using the Tuesday's login or vice versa, and it doesn't go well. So please be aware of that if you're doing it yourself or passing that information along to somebody you think might benefit. And we still have time to talk. What's on your mind? What's a comment? What's a question? What's an answer? What's a testimonial you have about the use of these tools in your life? You know, one of the huge things that I deal with probably several times a week in my caseload with patients is the power, the necessity to be gentle with myself. And I'm pleased as I listen to Pema Chodron how often that message comes across. So the Buddhist teachings, at the same time they might use words like suffering and allowance and acceptance of suffering, they're also using words that indicate the need to be in allowance, to be in surrender, to be gentle with oneself. And the way I like to help people understand it is there is never any benefit for beating myself up. Most people who've been on the path long enough have discovered that the more they beat themselves up, the more, I had a woman in my office yesterday who was talking about the nasty, nasty tone of voice that one of the voices in her head uses with her a lot. And it reminded me of what Michael Singer talks about in the beginning of his book, The Untethered Soul, how loud and vociferous and relentless the negative judgments are in most of our minds on a regular basis. And he said in the beginning of that book that if we had somebody who was able to do a transcript of all of the nasty or negative things we said to ourselves in a given day and wrote those things into a transcript and then handed that transcript to one of our best friends and had that best friend follow us around all day and just read that transcript to us, he says, if that were the case, we would kick that person out of our lives before lunchtime. We would not tolerate other people saying to us the very same negative, hurtful things that are almost constantly running in most of our minds. And it's just, it's happened for so long, it's a part of our culture, we're so acclimated to it that we're not even aware that we're doing it to ourselves most of the time. And soon after I was reading that book, I came across a video that had been done on the internet about it basically an application of this. They had a very nice women's clothing store, and they closed it for a while, and while it was closed, they went through and changed all the tags on the clothes. And then they set up video cameras so they could track people's responses, and they let people in. And they videoed as people were looking at these clothes, and then they'd be interested, and they'd grab the tag, and they'd start reading the tag, and then they'd get furiously angry. And they would call a salesperson over, and they'd say, what is the meaning of this? Because the tags would say things like, you know, you are way too old for this. Who do you think you are looking at something like this? This is going to make your butt look so big. How could you even think of wearing something like that? And they were just, you know, furious at what was written on these tags. And then, of course, they would call the salespeople over, and the salespeople would say, oh, I'm so sorry. That's just something I say to myself every time I look at this or these kinds of clothes. Because they just took nasty things that the salespeople had been honest about, this is the kind of nasty talk I have in my head, and they just used the actual negative talk from these people. And when they would tell that to the customers who were minutes before raging and angry, how dare you, the customers would break into tears because they would wake up and realize that's exactly the kind of thing that's going on in my head, which is why it was so upsetting. Right? I'm only going to be upset about something somebody else says or does if I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. So, people who step back and observe this, and people who are honest, understand that the negative response is detrimental. it is not advantageous. And the more we see about how our response creates negativity, and we actually get to see the direct consequences of our response, then we don't need to be judgmental. We don't need to beat ourselves up. We just need to choose differently. And in this case, we're encouraged to choose joy. We're encouraged to choose positively. We're encouraged to choose love and compassion. We're encouraged to see directly what the consequences are so that we're living in the observation and we observe, hey, look at what happens when I beat myself up. Number one, it doesn't feel very good in the moment. And number two, it doesn't lead to enlightenment. It doesn't lead to a better tomorrow. The more I feed that part of me that's judgmental and negative, the stronger it gets. This is an observation we can make. Not a judgment involved. There's discernment. The difference between discernment and discernment is just information. Judgment means tension, constriction, and emotional attachment. Discernment is simply observation, information. And that's what we're calling people to do in this work. Step into the direct observation. Step into the discernment. What works and what doesn't. What's the impact of this? What's the impact of that? And anybody who takes the initiative and steps back and observes what is their own internal response whenever they're beating themselves up mentally, emotionally, negatively, whatever phrase you want to use for it, they will be able to see it has negative consequences, not positive. It doesn't lead to growth. And those of us who listen to shows like the Mind Shifters radio show or come to support groups, at least at some level, we're interested in the growth. And so once we wake up and realize that what we're doing is harmful rather than helpful, it's a no-brainer. We can choose again, as Diedrich Wolzak calls us to do in his work. Choose again. So, that's what we have to offer for today, and today's a Tuesday, so we'll be back the rest of the week. We are grateful that you're here. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim, and I apologize I didn't have a show created.
Nope. No apology necessary, but you should understand, and you should understand that it may cut you off a minute or two ahead of time.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't let me schedule because I was too close to the hour. And so I just went live and specified 120 minutes.
Oh, gotcha.
Because that's
okay.
The only option other than going to 150. And so... in a minute or two early. So,
okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome everybody to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, November the 16th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everyone. Honored and delighted that you're here with us as we move forward with this awesome conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness. I'd like to start out with just talking a little bit, just one other idea from yesterday's kind of that flows out of yesterday's show, and that is recognizing that as long as the intensity of information moving out of the cellular structure from the past, stored information is louder and more intense in its strength or amplitude than the guidance system that's there to inform us about everything becomes unavailable because of the noise going on within us. Hence, when we step down the noise from the past experiences as held in the mind, when they're weakened through forgiveness, and basically that's what forgiveness was, it's almost like turning the volume down on the noise from the past, then the subtler energetic influences that are available to us become quite clear. And while that emotional trauma and noise is going on, the sensibilities, the sensitivities that would teach us a higher way of understanding, would teach us more about the world of actuality than our mind can perceive, become available. And each time you forgive, you weaken the automatic responses from the past, remembering that the mind works via the law of resonance. You remember that law of resonance. It says that when two energy fields match or in harmony with each other, there's an exchange of information between them. So if I say something as simple as don't think about the color of your car, that's information stored in your mind from the past, and that begins to move in you. Now, especially if there's emotional noise, especially if there's pain or fear or rage or guilt, then the sensibilities, the sensitivities disappear. We look at people involved in the raging conversations that are happening, for instance, in our political world. Good people. But there's so much emotional noise that they forget they have a guidance system that has perhaps in the past informed them of their role as human beings, as functioning as human beings. And in the noise of pain and trauma, those things can be forgotten. Those things that otherwise would be obvious are simply not available. And so quietening the noise from the has-been, you know, our reading, we've been talking this past week or so about chapter 21, and that is waking from the has-been, realizing that what's stored in the mind repeats itself. And if we allow the past to continue to repeat itself, the present, the future, become, let's say, obscured by the noise, and therefore seem like, you know, perhaps some sort of a fantasy. And as we awaken to the truth of who we are, as we awaken to functioning out of the higher faculties that we have, then something different occurs. So the repeated generational patterns, you'll remember in the ancient scriptures, it said, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. What are they saying? If you've got an emotional trauma and emotional noise from your generational patterns, then you're going to tend to repeat. You're going to tend to live the title of my book. Until you find forgiveness and can weaken those patterns, you'll tend to live in the why is this happening to me again experience. Forgiveness, first of all, weakens and then ultimately removes the impact of those generational traumas. You know, you go back and you listen to that story about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, and you realize that they're not talking about a hot, sandy place. If they were, you know, these people understood astronomy quite well, would have easily gotten up one morning and said, well, we're going to follow the sun and we'll be out of this 35-square-mile desert very quickly. The desert is a code word for the unconscious, the repeating patterns of the generations, the has-been. Look to the lives of the fathers. when forgiveness is applied, those influences are removed. It doesn't mean that the memory is no longer there. It can become available, but it doesn't run us. If it exists as emotional noise within the structure, then it tends to run the show. So we're looking to amp up the voice of the active presence of love and quiet down the noise from the past, thing into a different way of experiencing. You know, when you realize perception is a product of the firing of brain cells, then influences, generational influences of hostility or fear, can distort that perception and keep us locked in, or I should say perhaps more accurately, locked out of perception based in love. So as one does their work and is freed from the traumas of the past generations, we get to the point where things look different. So in this conversation with Richard, I offer him the thought, perhaps we will see, quote unquote, that we, the world and everyone in it, deserve to be perceived through the condition of love just because we each exist. Perhaps when we follow the first law, what is the first law? Well, if you listen to the Greek translation of it, you think that you're supposed to do something that has something to do with loving your neighbor, which is, when you look at it from the Aramaic context, just not a sensible idea. When you realize that love is a state of being, it does not describe an action, it does not describe a verb, it describes who you are. When love is the present energy in your mind, when your mind is fueled by love, then it generates perceptions that are different than those based in hostility or fear. So the first law, instead of being love your neighbor, it was actually the word that was used in Aramaic was have rachma for your neighbor, and rachma is the filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that keeps the gateway open, in essence keeps us connected to love, keeps the power supply that the mind is designed to run on active within that mind. So perhaps when we follow this first law, we will see the evidence that shows us that we will benefit in ways not yet conceived. Love does not come from outside of us. It is our created condition. Love is a noun, not a verb, and cannot be taken away from us. We suppress our awareness of it. A fresh perspective is necessary. The mind must be cleaned of insanity, of everything that is less than love. A mind that could conceive of, actually be freed from the past that colors what the Creator created, is a mind capable of what was called the Immaculate Conception. So as long as hostility or fear are moving or active in the mind and anything triggers it into activity, then, you know, as Paul talked about, we see as though through a glass darkly. Everything becomes colored. And when you realize that you're a creator, if everything is colored with hostility and fear and grief and rage and pain and drama and trauma, then one believes that those things which are inside of them are actually outside of them. As you wipe away, as you forgive, as you remove those influences that dim everything down and restore the truth of who we are, then recognizing that our creatorship flows from the state of being and is facilitated through the thoughts that we think. And when the thoughts that we think are fueled by love, cleansed of the past, then this ability to conceive of a world that's different from what we've been handed, one immaculate, one cleansed of the guilt, the rage, the fear, the hatred, the vengeance that tends to taint everyone's ability to create their lives, then a different process occurs. So the key thought, the key takeaway here is love cannot be taken away from us. We suppress our awareness of it. Richard replies, I hear what you're saying. And there's a deeper meaning to all of the old teachings. And I'm starting to grasp that they apply in my life. I'm a little blown away. The idea of realities being available only if they were built into brain cells was addressed in Aramaic when the scriptures referred to, quote, having the eyes to see and the ears to hear, where they said, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Obviously, the people who heard those words had what we call eyes and ears. However, if they did not have the information in brain cells, though they saw or heard the same words and actions as others, the deeper meanings of the teachings could not show up in their minds. They could not, quote, hear or see the intended meanings. Richard broke in, I'm not sure I understand. Are you familiar with computers, Richard asked him. He nodded. Let's look at a computer analogy that helps make sense of these ideas. And so we can see that this character, Richard, is quite literally building brain cells. And when I talk about building brain cells, I'm not talking about building new physical structure. I'm talking about the ability of the mind to store information. And so And the mind functioning through every cell in the body means that we build brain cells throughout the whole structure. We build information into the cellular structure. And we think we see or hear something. You know, people say, well, I've read the Bible. Well, but with what eyes did you read it? Did you see that book through a glass darkly? Did you perceive it through hostility, fear? You know, Richard has shared with us earlier in the book about his religious upbringing and the hypocrites in his life. And he experienced much of what he learned there through the darkened glass of prejudice against those who were prejudiced. And so as he's cleaning up some of the hostility or fear that came from his early religious training, he's now starting to move into a different state, a different space of listening. And when you let go of the has-been, you let go of the repeated perception that the why is this happening to me again, and approach something with fresh eyes and fresh ears. Marcel Proust, I think it was, that said, the idea is not to develop new landscapes or to seek new landscapes, but to develop new eyes. What if, no matter what you face in your world, your physiology were so prepared for truth that you could not inject any form of hostility or fear into what you were experiencing? How different would the world be? Get to see a whole new world once you build those brain cells and once you forgive the pained content from the past stored in the has-been. So that's in essence where we're heading with this work, and we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of the conversation. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet. So if someone presses one, we have 44 minutes. We've got plenty of time.
Lots of time for conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind? We've had a number of folks on the show recently that haven't been saying much, and we'd love to hear from you. You know, this is designed to be in part your conversation. Is this making sense for you? Is the direction we're going somewhere that you are benefiting from? And how can we enhance the conversation? How can we support you in what you're doing? You know, have you taken this forgiveness process and actually put the pen to the paper and actually used it? You know, running into people on occasion who like, oh, yeah, well, I heard about that from you. Yeah, that was pretty cool, that forgiveness stuff. It's like, well, how many worksheets have you done? Well, I haven't actually – well, I haven't really picked up the pen and done anything, but I understand it. It's like, this is not about understanding it. This is about putting the tools to work to actually clean up the mind and its content from the past, to literally have our perception, the constructs of our mind, be liberated from the tarnished hostilities and fears of the past. If you haven't used the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org. You can actually do the worksheet process live right there on the website. Print off your results if you choose to keep them. They're private. You can print the worksheet itself off at home on your computer. There are actually several versions of the worksheet. And different people over the years have informed us that they like to use different worksheets, and they get an impact that shifts. You know, sometimes in doing one's work, one reaches a plateau, and that can be a time to shift to a different worksheet that has a slightly different focus and tends to keep the energy of from stagnating and keep it moving. And so there are several different versions of the forgiveness process, the Reality Management Worksheet. And or if you go to your app store on your phone and you type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, forgiveness, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, then you'll find the world's only forgiveness app created by Miss Jeannie. And it's a really profound tool. We're actually, let's see, sweetie, we're going to be trying to remember what the date was. We've started a conversation with the technicians in India, and they were doing vacation time. That should be just about over, shouldn't it? So we maybe can move forward on that.
They've actually contacted me this morning, but I've not had time to talk to India today. There's too much other stuff
sweet.
Going on here at the house.
Well, yeah, we got that little just amazing young lady, Arya Rain, with us again today, and such a blessing. And as we participate in raising her, you know, three years of circling the earth and breathing air on her own, keeping her perceptual system clean and clear, and assisting her to understand how her little growing mind works, and how her structure is her instrument. I mean, she's what did she spend today, honey? Probably 45 minutes between video and between her. She has this little character that we call Mr. Skinny, that is a skeleton with removable organs, and you know, you can take the top of the head off and take the brain out and the lung, the liver and heart and bones and muscles, and you can disassemble and reassemble it. And so after watching one of the videos today, she was wanting to get out Mr. Skinny and work on anatomy at three. You know, she sees when one of the videos is on, a picture of the heart. Oh, there's the heart. And, oh, there are the veins, the blue blood vessels. Oh, there are the red ones. Oh, that's the pancreas. It's really pretty cool to watch her, and that she initiated that whole conversation, and her interest in that arena is pretty sweet. So we are blessed. And yes, it does make for some intense times as we get to participate with her and supporting Jeannie's dad as he just went through his 89th eternal day. He's doing quite well. And so if you're out there in listener land, we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind? How can we support you? How is your experience of these tools moving forward?
Well, with no hands up, I will share that there's a young man. He's actually in Australia. It's not Bob. And I had worked with him one-on-one several times last year, and the biggest thing going on for him is depression. And I would tell him, you know, depression is anger turned inwards. And I gave him some assignments to do, and I suggested he breathe. And so then I checked back with him, you know, how are you doing and everything. And he says, I've been too depressed to do the work. So his issue was depression. I gave him assignments to work on to help relieve the depression, and he's too depressed to do it. And so it's kind of like a
catch 22.
Continuous loop there. Yeah, catch 22. And so anyway, I worked with him a little bit longer, and then he just kind of disappeared. Well, he wrote to me this morning about 7 o'clock our time, and he said, I just wanted to say thank you for all the work that you guys do. I know that I disappeared halfway through our work last time, but I was just exhausted. Recently, I have been doing my worksheets again, and I see how much I need them. And so I gave him a thumbs up, and he says, I've got the month of December off. Can we set up to do sessions in December? I'm back in a bad place. I think that when I run away, it's because the work is getting too close to something, and then I never get to deal with it. And I said, well, that's what most people do, even if it's unconscious. And he says, well, I'm done running. It just leads me back to the same dark hole that I was in just a year later. I said, yeah, the why is this happening to me again experience. And so I told him I could work with him after today. And he said, well, he'd prefer to wait until he's totally got time off and can concentrate on doing the work. So hold the space for this young man as I work with him then next month. And so maybe you have something to add since we don't have hands up. And I can tell him to listen to this show about depression and about you know, not doing the work. And we see that a lot with people that, you know, they want an immediate fix and you give them the tools, but then they don't put them to work.
Right. I hear that. And one of the thoughts comes, you know, during the codependence, the interdependence communication intensive, Magda did a particularly profound piece of work in the intensive, and then she actually shared it on the show here. And the thought comes to perhaps just share that audio track with him from the show. And if you don't have it, I've got it on my phone, if you don't have it handy. And perhaps sending that, and what Magda did, she was dealing with some heart issues physically and actually going to the hospital regarding heart issues. And the assignment was to check in with ancestors and see what was going on. And that, as you, you know, offer him the definition of rage being, you know, that, or depression being that rage turned inward, that as Magda listened, she found something in her has been. She ended up with a very profound dialogue with her grandfather, who was an immigrant, if I remember correctly, I think from Lithuania, and thought he was coming to America to the streets paved with gold, only to find that things were just as rough here when he came over here as when he was in Lithuania, and the pain, the trauma, the rage, and how he literally in dialogue, now of course he'd been passed away several years ago, but she currently was able to have a dialogue with him and resolve just a huge amount of that energy. And perhaps oftentimes I think that when I keep avoiding something, I don't want to deal with this, I keep moving away from it, it's because it has the kind of intensity that this issue from Magda's grandfather, she was able to listen to with him and able to support him in processing, even though he was not in his body. But that's a pretty profound sharing that she did on the show. And if anybody wants to listen to it, perhaps we can put it in the notes and but maybe send that to him as a look at, you know, this may open the door for him as to some of the things from the has-been, from the past, that he hasn't considered. And, you know, oftentimes those influences are totally and completely unconscious until someone brings it to awareness that, oh, you know, this might be it. And in refining his perception and his work, internal work, can be a, you know, make for a quantum leap forward. So that thought comes. And to recognize that at every moment that the mind utilizes data based in hostility and fear, the construct that the mind creates, recognizing that perception is not a fact, perception is a construct of the mind. That's why in any given event, we can see that several people, you know, attending the same event have totally and completely different constructs in their mind. And they all think they experience the same event, but rarely, if ever, do two people ever experience the same event. Because what they experience when they say they're experiencing an event is they're experiencing their perception of it, the construct of their mind. And if the construct of their mind is tainted by something from the has-been, something from the past, and they don't wake up from it, then that's the mind using corrupt data based on past experiences to generate what seems to be the present, but we never get to visit the present when we're doing that. That's why that chapter, Awakening from the Has-Been, is so important. And new energetic patterns become available, new possibilities based in the truth of who we are. And the beauty is that everyone has at the foundation of their lives being created as love. Now, that may be totally blocked by the rage, the fear, the guilt, the drama and trauma that's stored in this body-mind unit, in this carbon-based memory system from the past, and may taint everything. But just the awareness that, oh, I never thought of myself as being conscious, active, present love. And when I start to straighten out some of the thought disorders that keep me locked out of the truth of who I am, then new possibilities become available. So, a conversation moving in that direction. And, you know, I would offer to him that now that things are up in your face, now is the time to be doing the work. Now, you know, the mind, one of the games of the non-being mind can be, well, you know, I'm just too busy to do this. And I would suggest that you take some piece of your day, you know, if it's 10 minutes, and dedicate that on a daily basis to doing your work. Because the mind can expand. The mind that wants to avoid what's going on inside can expand to fill all of the time that you can imagine having. And so a commitment, again, just 10 minutes a day to start, rather than waiting for the event that will liberate you to do it, like I've got the whole month of December off. Wonderful that you've got more time and are able to dedicate yourself on a new level. But in the meantime, I would be really, truly taking some committed piece of time and doing my work every day. You know, it might be just, you know, taking the hour to listen to the radio show and be engaged in the conversation, being willing to, you know, tap in and ask questions. If you can't listen, you know, directly, of course, if you're somewhere else in the world than America, you can call in through Skype to listen to the show, but can also listen to the archives and continue to stay involved in the conversation. And that's a way of building brain cells and moving forward. So there'd be some thoughts I would offer. Does that stimulate anything else for you, sweetie?
No, it's good.
Yeah, cool. Sweet. Well, we're halfway through our hour, which means we have lots of time for conversation. And, you know, the idea of the show is to be a dialogue, not a monologue. Yes, I usually start out with a monologue, but we're complete with that. So now it's time for dialogue. You're out there in listener land. What's on your mind? If what I've shared about the past and the mind was something that I'd shared, you know, live, you know, I'm in your hometown on a platform in your local library, your local church, your local university, or maybe even the jail. You know, we've done, I can't even count how many jails I've been in over the last 50 years all around the country. Probably one of the most powerful jail experiences that we had out in Arizona, where they start putting kids in jail at the age of 9. And we worked, you know, a psychologist that was working in the prison system invited us to come and be part of working with a group of about 100 young people from 9 to 16. And one brave young lady who had a lot of rage and pain around her father and felt like her father didn't have any respect for her or care for her. This whole group of kids who, I mean, I was kind of shocked when we first went in, because the kids were each escorted into the room and made to sit in a row of seats. We wanted to hand out worksheets so they could write out worksheets, but, and this goes back, what's this, probably 10 years ago, Janie? They wouldn't give the kids pencils because pencils could be used as a weapon. So we couldn't walk them through a written worksheet. And one young lady chose to stand up and do a live. So as a demo, she did a live worksheet. And it was just awesome to watch these kids who have been told the just vile lies about themselves. I mean, how bad they are, how they'll never be any good, how they'll, and to watch as we talked about human life, you know, we ask, you know, a question you've heard me ask on the show, you've heard Jeannie ask, you know, hold a newborn child. And here we've got these tough, you know, they won't even give them the pencils because they're a weapon, talking about their younger sibling being born and remembering the love that they were. And then to watch these kids as they rallied around this one young girl who just had this huge opening around her father. And instead of perceiving him through her hostility and fear, which she'd been doing to that point, was able to perceive him through a mind connected to love. And it just, I mean, it was just so sweet to watch the breakdown and the opening that she had toward her father. I would love to be able to track lives like that and see where they're at today. You know, we do get, you know, of course, to hear from people who've done the workshops over the years and come back around and share with us some of the changes. But I know one of the things I would love to do is open a research project with the kids that Julie Haverstick worked with, you know, over a period of several years as a school teacher in Dayton, Ohio. She was able to teach kids the commitment. She was able to teach kids the forgiveness process. And that became primary in her classroom. It would be awesome to track those kids, go back and find out where they are today. You know, kids that, you know, one year I remember Julie had T-shirts printed for all of them with the children's commitment on it. She shared with us at one point, I think it was 2 years down the road from having given those T-shirts out to kids, and it was in kindergarten, and one of those kids, a young boy, came back 2 years later to visit her in her kindergarten classroom, and he had a regular-looking T-shirt on, but as he came in to acknowledge her and thank her, this kid who's now, I guess he was in grade 3 at that point, but he came in, and the first thing he did when he came in to say hello to her is he lifted up his T-shirt and had the gift T-shirt commitment on underneath. You know, it's like you never know the impact on lives that you're going to have. So thank you for all that work you did, Julie, with those kids over so many years. And by the way, we do have copies of Julie's book, Healing Children, Loving Children, where she lays out a whole curriculum and a way to approach educating children as to who they are as love, rather than, you know, treating their minds as though they're empty containers to be filled up with the superior knowledge of the teacher. So thank you, Julie, for the work you've done. If you happen to be out there in listener land, if you happen to be tuned in, you know, maybe we haven't heard your voice on the show for a while, perhaps push one and say hello and let us know how all of that looks to you from this perspective so many years later. But if I were in your hometown doing this presentation and I'd said what I've said so far about the has-been, when I completed and I walked off the stage down into the audience, would you have, if you were there, come over to me and said, well, Michael, I just have one question, a quick question. What would that question be? The idea of the show at this point is to enter into that dialogue. And what is your question? What if we were just sitting one-on-one, be the conversation we'd be having as you would direct it, as you would guide it? If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, our calling number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, 563-999-3581, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you push one, that'll raise a hand, and Jeannie will see your hand go up in the control panel through the magic of technology, and she'll introduce you by your area code. So what's on your mind? How can we support you?
There's no hand up. However, I just happen to think, make an announcement for those who are participating in the Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing monthly.
Oh, yes.
That we've changed from Wednesday to Tuesday. So it'll be tonight at 7 Eastern time.
Yes. Yeah, so if you make sure you change your calendar so that at 7 o'clock tonight you'll be on the Zoom call. So you'll be sending those out. And we'll be processing out the Stillpoint Breathing session from Saturday. And if you're interested in joining that conversation, if you're interested in joining that process, we have a monthly Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing workshop. And you can join the Mind Shifters community in being part of that if you'd like to do that. It's the second Saturday of every month, and then the Wednesday following the second Saturday. So
Tuesdays.
Pardon me, Tuesday, normally it's Wednesday. We're shifting it. Yes, it has been to date. My brain hasn't shifted out of Wednesday yet, but yes, we shifted that.
And I actually need to change the website and the flyer.
Oh, right. Cool. Well, I'll jump into my computer and, or have you got the original flyer to change it? Or do you
No.
just have the PDF? Okay. I'll jump on my computer and shift it then. So Tuesday night, 7 to 9 o'clock, Zoom call. And if you want to join that process, there are three different levels of being part of it. We're doing a full year, the second Saturday of each month and the second Tuesday of the Tuesday following that second Saturday for a year. And you can do a single one-time participation, or you can do a package of three of those workshops, or you can do the full year. And the cost for a single session, and that's the Saturday Mindshifters and Still Point Breathing, includes two videos, from our catalog, the video of Mindshifters and Introduction to Still Point Breathing. And there was another video we did on the Mindshifters process in one of our intensives, so that video is included. And we did a radio show on why Mindshifters. So those three programs are part of the package. If you take part in one session, or you do the 3 months or the whole year, that's included in the package. And a single session is $150. If you decide you want to do a package of three times, it's $125 for the three sessions, or you can do the whole year for $1,200. So it's $100 a month,
Michael,
instead of 12. Yes.
It's $125 each, or $375 for the three.
Right.
You said one session was $150 and three sessions was $125. So just clarifying, it's $125 each of the
right.
three sessions.
Each, yes. $375 for the whole three sessions, right? Thank you for catching me on that. And then the whole year. And if you decide you want to do the year and you pay it in advance, it's $900 instead of $1,200. So it really cuts the cost down, and you've got a full year's support program. So if you're interested in doing that, if you've got my phone number, you're welcome to call me. Or if you want to drop Jeannie a text or an email, her email is jeannie@whyagain.org. Jeannie@whyagain.org. And give your name and phone number, and I'll be in touch, and we'll get you registered for that. We also have a package that we've taken out of the last two codependence to independence communication intensives that we did online. And that's actually a 90-hour program, self-study, includes two personal code evaluations, and the full package of a video links permanently yours, permanently available. And, of course, the radio show is ongoing support for that. So if you choose to participate, we'd love to hear from you. And the cost for that 90-hour intensive package is $600. So if you're interested in playing, you know, upping your game and playing on a different level, there are different ways to participate. And beyond that, we're now at the down just a little less than 20 minutes. So I'm going to open the doors for conversation. And if there is no conversation, then perhaps we'll let the show go for today if the dialogue is complete. So if you're out there in listener land, push one, let's have a conversation. Going once, going twice. All right, well, then I'm going to go and take care of some other projects that we've got ongoing, and we'll hold the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mindshifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.